We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast.
This week, and it is interesting when a player, but especially a quarterback, has to sit and wait an entire offseason to play the team again, his first game of the season, the team that knocked him out of the playoffs, and have to endure that, but it's the first game of the season, so it's big. Matt Ryan, the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, his last game in the playoffs, a playoff loss to the Eagles last year, and his first game against the Super Bowl champion Eagles. So we talked to Matt about the feelings of that last game, looking forward to this game, and how he feels about a quarterback situation when you have two quarterbacks that obviously feel like they want to start. And I think it's I think Nick Foles understands, but I'll let Matt Ryan explain it to you. All right, here we go. This week, our guest is Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan. Okay, I'm here with Atlanta quarterback Matt Ryan, who had a really good season until the last game of last season. And Matt, I know you remember it. The people in Philadelphia remember it because they remember everything that happened last season. But thanks for being with me. And I obviously, that has to be what we talk about at first. What do you remember from a game that was so close that obviously either team and you guys could have won that game?
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, obviously we knew coming into it, Philadelphia was such a talented team. Offensively they were explosive. You had Nick Foles who was starting to get hot at that point going against us and played, extremely well throughout the entire stretch of the playoffs. But the defense was solid, too, and it was tough sledding for us that entire day, really for both teams. It was cold, tough, and windy, so tough to get a lot going through the air, but it was a battle. And we had some opportunities. We missed some opportunities, but you got to give Philadelphia credit. They made the plays when they needed to, and that springboarded them to a Super Bowl.
All right, so I'm going to take you back to the season before and then kind of dwarf into that game. The season before, you were so close to winning the Super Bowl. Then last season, you were so close to beating the Eagles, which could have gotten you to the Super Bowl. What hurts and what do you remember from the Super Bowl game and then last year, the game against the Eagles?
Well, obviously, 2016, was a really good year for us, but we fell short in that Super Bowl game against the Patriots, and that was disappointing for sure. I remember from that game, realizing how difficult it is to win, and when you get your opportunities, you have to, you really have to make the plays when you get your chances to finish teams off, and so it was disappointing, but we were highly motivated coming into last season. As a team, and I thought we handled, all the things that come along with that, the expectations, the questions that you have to answer. I thought we handled it well as a team and as an organization. And then, we battled last year. It wasn't probably as pretty as 2016. It wasn't as many points or as flashy, but we were a gutty team, and we made a lot of good plays in situations where we needed to make them. And then, you know, fell short again in the playoffs against, you know, the eventual Super Bowl champion. So it was, you know, it was one of those things that disappointed with how those two seasons ended. We did a lot of good things throughout those years, though. And, you know, I think those experiences are going to make the guys that are back on this team for us this year all the more stronger.
Okay, so you've had the offseason to think about it. And you think about play. Everybody relives plays. And I'm sure as a player, you probably relive them more than we do either in the media or the fans. What plays do you remember from the game last year at the Link when the Eagles won that game?
Well, you know, there's always a handful of plays throughout the course of a game that kind of determine the outcome, and you never know when they're going to come. I mean, obviously, you know, we had first and goal inside the 10, you know, at the end of the game and have opportunities to score points there. So you always remember those, but plays, you know, really before the half are tough too. I mean, you know, we had an opportunity for an interception prior to the half on our defense, and just, you know, Torrey Smith comes up with a great play there, and it just changes the momentum. So, you know, that's one of those things. Those momentum-type plays are the ones that you remember, and we were just on the wrong end of it.
Does it eat you up a little bit to think, okay, that obviously should have been an interception, but shouldas don't count in any sport. Should have been an interception, but the Eagles end up with the points where you, the Atlanta Falcons, could have ended up with points. Did it kind of eat at you for a little bit after that game?
Well, I mean, you know, but there's a handful more plays throughout that game, too, that could go either way. And so, you know, I've always said, though, that those points before half, you know, the teams that are able to score those points before half, it's critical in determining the outcome of the game. So, you know, we would have liked to have gotten points there for sure, but, you know, that's the way it goes. And in playoff football, you know, you have to make your plays when you get the opportunity to. And, you know, again, we fell a little bit short.
All right, the last play of the game. Have you seen it since the game? Have you looked at it again? And how much have you thought about the pass that wasn't completed to Julio Jones?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we watched those and watched that play in particular. And, you know, as a competitor, you got to be able to move on. You know, that's part of
that's hard. Isn't that hard, Matt? Isn't that really hard to move on sometimes from those kind of plays?
It is. It's difficult. But at the same time, I think it's, you know, probably the most important thing to do, you know, as an athlete, as a professional is to be able to put that behind you, learn from it, put it behind you, and then use it as motivation to try and be better moving forward. I think all, you know, great players, great athletes, great teams have that scar tissue built up. That makes you, you know, perform and hungry to try and, you know, be better than you've ever been.
All right, so now you come into the game at the beginning of the season. It's not often. It used to be where the Super Bowl winner and loser, if they were on each other's schedule, they would play the first game of the year. But that doesn't happen anymore. So it was probably going to be before the schedule came out, you with the Falcons or Minnesota. But it's the last game that you played against the same team the first game. Does that help? Does it hurt? Or does it make absolutely no difference?
I don't think it makes that much of a difference. It's kind of an anomaly. You know, it doesn't happen. Like you said, it doesn't happen all that often. So I'm not sure it makes all that much of a difference. You know it as well as I do. Every year is different. Every team is different. And you know, it'll be a fun atmosphere, that's for sure, to start out up there and, you know, to have kind of everything going on that's going to be going on that night. It'll be fun. And that first, you know, game is always one that everybody's watching that Thursday night. So beyond that, you know, I don't think it's, you know, much more than that. It's 1-16. And, you know, for us, we've got to try and find a way to get it done.
Okay, so win when you win or lose a Super Bowl, as you've experienced, and the Eagles also have experienced the win part of it, teams always lose players. Mm-hmm. Is that difficult? Is it difficult now? I'm looking at the perspective from the Eagles to come back from that game And the team, and Nick Foles said something to me. He says, you know what? Things just don't ever stay the same. And he said it at the ring ceremony. And they don't ever stay the same. But is it difficult for a team the next year when you've lost maybe 15 to 20 players off of the previous roster?
Yeah, I think particularly when you've had a lot of success, you know, like you're saying, I mean, it's one of those things. Every year is different. Every team is different. There's so much turnover on a roster from one year to another, regardless of how far in the playoffs you've gone. And so, you know, I think age and experience kind of gives you that perspective of knowing that every season is going to, you know, shake out differently. I think it's when you've had a lot of success, sometimes it is more difficult to move on and to accept the fact that, you know, this team is going to be different. You want to recreate what you've had before, and that just doesn't happen all that often.
You know, when you look at other sports, basketball, because there's not as many players, baseball, there's not as many players, hockey, I don't know that a few bad guys in the locker room, for whatever reasons, don't hurt a team that much. But in football, and I saw it with the Eagles last year, and I know we talked about it a little bit, that I thought it was the best chemistry that the Eagles have ever had on a football team. But from a football player standpoint, especially you at the position of quarterback, how important is the chemistry in that locker room?
I think it's huge. You know, we've talked about it before. I think our motto, you know, in our organization is it's the brotherhood. It's about the brotherhood. And the tighter our connection in our locker room is, the more connected we are to our teammates, you know, both professionally but also personally. There's just a bond, you know, within your team that makes you tougher and stronger and more willing to do the things that, you know, you need to do in order to be successful, to go, you know, to the lengths that you need to go. To be successful. And you know, the good teams I've been on, you know, throughout my career have always been the tightest teams that we've had in our locker room. And so I think the symmetry between those two things is critical to success.
You know, how much, and you've been in the league, what is it, 11 or 12 years now, Matt?
Yeah, coming up on 11.
Oh, boy, how time flies, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
But money and – just knowing you, I don't believe it's affected you. But money has changed sometimes the personality of players. Does that make it tougher for teams to kind of have that chemistry and bond because there's so much money involved in the game anymore?
Well, you know, I think it could, you know, but I think that comes down to the individual, like you said. And you know, for some people that does change their makeup and how they approach. You know, I've been lucky that, you know, really, you know, you throw around big name guys that I've been able to play with that have had, you know, lucrative contracts. Throughout my career, I've been around guys that were workers and that was not important to them. Not that they weren't well compensated and all that stuff, but it was about playing well and it was about being the best player and professional that they can be. You know, Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, Julio Jones, all of these guys are about being the best players that they can be. And so that stuff has never really become an issue. And it's good. You know, I think that's important for team chemistry and, you know, building that brotherhood that we talk about all the time and making that as tight as possible.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Wentz and Foles, and I see it obviously from this side of the NFL, but for a quarterback – to have a backup quarterback who gets along so well. I don't know all the backup quarterbacks you've had, but I'm sure there's been some guys you played with that say, you know, I really think that I should be a starter somewhere along the way. How does that happen? How do you get two guys like Wentz and Foles to be on the same page? Whoever starts that game against you guys, the first game, whether it's Wentz or Foles, if Wentz isn't ready, or they're both on board with whatever happens, happens. Is that difficult at that position or more difficult at that position?
Well, I think it is. You know, I think it is more difficult because, you know, it's one of those things, you know, at other positions, you know, people can share reps and people get opportunities. At that position, it just, that's not how it goes. You know, I think it takes special people for sure, and I think you have to have the right people for it to work, because I think there's a lot of situations through the history of the NFL where when you have situations like that, it doesn't pan out the same.
And it's interesting. I think the number is 8. There's only been 8 quarterbacks that weren't the starter at the beginning of the season yet won the Super Bowl, and Nick Foles is one of them. How rare, because there's not enough quarterbacks for the league anyway, like how big an accomplishment do you think that was? And I know it's not your team, but obviously because you know the position, how difficult is that to accomplish?
Well, it's got to be incredibly difficult. You know, you talk about the number of reps that you get as a starter and the amount of time that you take during the week in terms of preparation. You know, you're getting all of those reps as a starter. And as a backup, you're really not getting any of them with the guys that if something were to happen, you're going to go play with. And so, you know, I think it's incredibly difficult to be able to do that. I can't imagine, you know, I'm a guy that I need reps. You know, I need to be out there. I need to be getting those reps during practice to feel good about where we're at, to create that timing. And when you don't have it, it just makes it all the more difficult. So it's impressive. I mean, it was really impressive to see that.
Matt, the Ryan family lives in the Philadelphia area, and obviously played here the last game last season in the playoffs. And the first game, how difficult is that for your family when it's their hometown? Originally, it's your original hometown. For you to play here, hear the crowd rooting for the other team, and they're obviously pulling for you. How difficult is that on them? And has your father or brothers ever talked to you about that?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, there's no question about it. You've been all around the league. You know, the environments are all different, and so you know, the fans are passionate. That's for sure. And they're really into, you know, their team and also getting on the other team, and so. You know, it's difficult for them, but I think, you know, the further I've gotten along in my career, you know, as a player, you realize that stuff, you can't let that affect you. And so, you know, as a byproduct, you know, your family and those people, they kind of learn to let it go off their shoulders too. And so, you know, that's kind of where I've gotten to at this point in my career.
Well, it's obviously going to be a big game. It's the only game in the NFL on that Thursday night to start the season. But I want to say this because I want to give a shout out. Your family does such a great job with the Believe and Achieve organization, believeandachieve.org, to help kids. And I know you've had some busy times in your life having twins and now trying to help your wife take care of the kids. Yet you always come in to town for the events that your family works with each year. And I know it's not easy, but it's important for players to be involved in that. And obviously you feel the importance as well, don't you?
Yeah, no question. You know, to be able to help out when you can is critical. And so, you know, that's just one of the things I think that you do. You know, we're fortunate to be surrounded by really good people.
Yeah, well, it's always fun seeing you. It'll be fun seeing you at game, and I'm sure – It will be another great game. I want to wish you luck. And, you know, I'm standing there on the sidelines. I want to wish you luck, but I wish you luck that everything goes well for you except one thing. But you know where I'm coming from, so it's not like I'm giving you a hard time. But I'm sure coming back after two seasons like you had to try to do it again, it's the hardest thing in the world to get to a Super Bowl. And, you know, I saw it and you saw it and you saw what happens. But I always appreciate your time. And you're really a really good guy. You're big time now because you got that big money. You're big time.
Far from.
That's all right. Next time I see a first game, I'll just borrow $10 from you.
I'm good for it.
All right, Matt. Hey, thanks. And, again, good luck. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Howard. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
See you, man.
Some interesting comments from Matt Ryan about the quarterback room. You need a quarterback for everything to go smoothly who's on the same page and understands he's part of the team. And as he said, that's not always the case, but that really is important. Interesting, when he looks back at the last game, the play that really comes to mind is the interception that wasn't an interception, which turned into a catch for the Eagles and a field goal right before the end of the half. But it will be a terrific game. It's really a good game to start the season. It's certainly a test for both teams, the Atlanta Falcons on the road, because the Eagles are the Super Bowl champion. It'll be an interesting test. And as we put this podcast together, and we'll find out shortly, depending on when you hear this, who the starting quarterback will be in game one for the Eagles. And I still think Nick Foles has a better chance to start than Carson Wentz, just for cautionary sake. You got to be sure. Carson Wentz is your quarterback for the next 10 to maybe 15 years. So you got to be careful of that. The other thing, and we'll see, and I don't think people should be concerned about, as concerned. Certainly the Eagles have to play better than they did in that third game against Cleveland, when they had their starters play mostly a half. But they didn't have their starters, which should all be back, except for maybe Alshon Jeffrey in the first game. Nelson Aguilar will be back. Corey Clement will be back. Jay Ajayi will be back. So you got the running backs, your left tackle, Jason Peters, will be back. And that's really important. And then there'll be play calling for a game plan, which the Eagles didn't really have. So even though it didn't look good, I don't think it's as bad as it looked. And we'll find out when the Eagles play the first game. One other thing I want to talk about. It is the most disgusting, appalling situation that I think, well, it's not the most, but it's one of the most that I've seen in college athletics. The NCAA goes brain dead when they have to address a real tough situation in many cases. Brain dead. Urban Meyer is a scum, a piece of outright garbage. Here is a coach who is a good coach and obviously a good recruiter, who has been caught in at least six lies, even with the first so-called apology, which he didn't apologize. Then a statement on Twitter, which he did apologize, but then lied in that statement and called it relationship violence. I mean, call it what it is, domestic violence, domestic assault. Call it what it is, but that would never happen. It is, he makes sure that that doesn't happen. Yet it did happen, and he knew about it. It is embarrassing that Ohio State, a major university, allows Urban Meyer to continue to be employed, and they could have fired him and not paid him, but they're more interested in winning games. Think about this. If you're a parent and your son or daughter wants to go to Ohio State, why would you send them there when they care more about their football program than anything else and not about right and wrong? Urban Meyer, a coach who had 31 player arrests at the University of Florida. 31. Did they get kicked off the team? I don't know of any that got kicked off the team. So that's a big red flag and a big problem. The fact that they hired him after he lied about why he was leaving University of Florida. He wanted to go to Ohio State. This guy is nothing but bad as a human being. Absolutely horrible. And if you're thinking of sending your son or daughter, think about your daughter for a second. You want to send her, she wants to go to Ohio State, and you say, okay, no problem. No problem. Think about if your daughter would be domestically or sexual assault by a football player. Sexual assault, domestic violence, whatever it may be, whatever you want to call it, and it's assault and it's violent, and it's a football player. Think about, if he's a good football player, think about the way that Ohio State covered this last situation, and there's been other situations that he's covered up. There's no question he's covered up other situations. Think about that. And if it's your daughter, think about your son going there and being a part of a university that doesn't care about the real world, about right and wrong in the real world. They are a disgrace, an absolute disgrace as a human, as a university. I would never, ever, ever, ever send any one of my kids there. I would tell anybody that wants to go there, you are making a mistake. I would tell any football player that Urban Meyer recruits, you're a liar. And you can flat out call him a liar because he's been caught in lies. That is one of the more disgusting situations in sports and certainly in college football. The Phillies, two major flaws. Their offense, they still don't hit with men in scoring position. All they do is to score runs is hit home runs. And their defense. But I made a suggestion, and I'll make it again here this week on the podcast, to try to generate more offense. I am not a Carlos Santana fan. I'm okay with Matt Klentak, but I don't like the fact that he hired or that he signed Carlos Santana. I don't want to hear about his on-base percentage. I want to hear about a first baseman who is aggressive enough to try to drive in runs. I don't want to hear about a player that hits less than 220. I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about a player that is going to drive in runs. And Carlos Santana does not do that. And it was unfair to put Rhys Hoskins, who's not a left fielder, in left field and then criticize his defense. And he's not a left fielder. Here's what I would do. Roman Quinn would be my left fielder. Rhys Hoskins would be my first baseman for most of the games. Not all the games, but for most of the games, because you're not going to play Roman Quinn every game, obviously. But that's a way to kind of get some run producers in there and juice up your offense. They've got to do something. They did it, I guess, a couple of times when they were in Toronto, but that's with the DH. No DH anymore, so they've got to deal with this and do what's best for the team and not worry about hurting feelings. And I think that's part of what Gabe Kapler does. As far as the Sixers, there have been reports that they're probably not going to hire a general manager this season. They will have things done internally and have Brett Brown remain as the general manager. That's a mistake. If you have to do things during the season and you have to make some changes, the coach is the worst person to do. I like Brett Brown as a person, and I like him as a coach, but not as a general manager because the coach gets too close to his players, and it kind of taints his vision on the things he wants to do. That's not a good thing. I don't know why it's so difficult to hire a general manager. Maybe there are good people that don't want to come here. They want to get a really good general manager. I don't know. If he's really good, he's probably successful for another team. So we'll see how that all plays out. All right. I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast with Matt Ryan. Really good person who helps a lot with his family in this community, in the Philadelphia area. BelieveAndAchieve.org. Believe and Achieve is the organization. Matt helps with raising a lot of money along with his family. They do a really good job. He's a good quarterback, but I don't know if Atlanta missed their opportunity with Matt Ryan as the quarterback to win a Super Bowl when they should have beaten the Patriots in the Super Bowl before the Eagles, Super Bowl 51. But good guy, good quarterback, and looking forward to the Eagles and the Falcons. Everybody have a great week, and we'll be back again next week with more. And I will always try to get a terrific guest on the Howard Eskin podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.